They're just that they're exposed to traffic noise during courtship, egg laying, and nesting. Oh.
Oh, no.
How, come on. Some of those finch need help.
As I know. It's hard out there for a finch.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I found this article, shocking. Canned wine is no longer a fad. It's a $45 million business.
Do you remember when we used to make fun of this?
Yes. We kind of made fun of it, but then we were kind of also like, where is it?
Yeah, but it was so classy with a K.
Classy with a K with an IE. It said sales of canned wine grew 43% in June of 2017 and June of 2018. And then they have pictures here of what are supposed to be millennials. But guess what? Everyone's drinking wine in a can.
Wine in a can. And remember when corks? Remember,
yes.
Does everyone remember a cork in a bottle of wine? You don't see that very often.
So they went from not having corks to having those kind of a plastic. They had a plastic one for a little while.
They had a plastic cork, yeah.
And then now screw top, which is fun. It says these cans can be bought to places that glasses cannot, like the beach, park, and campsites, and they're easy to recycle than glass bottles. Like, no one cares about that part.
Yeah.
No one's like, I'm drinking this out of a can because it's easier to recycle. It's less. It's lighter than glass, and you can get away with it.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it. Looks like you're just drinking a soda.
You can get away with it is the key.
I was actually, I was at a party last night, an outdoor party, and a woman there had what looked like a tall can, and there was like some images on the front, and on the back it looked like there was some kind of nutritional information, and I was like, what is it? It is a fake can. You can unscrew the top and put whatever you want and screw the top back on. And there's a fake tab on the top, too, so you can keep carbonated beverages inside.
Get out.
This is a Gen X thing. 100%.
Fake, this is tall boy. Our people.
Yes. I thought it was awesome. So they say here that wine in a can with a pull tops instead of a corkscrew isn't new. It's become a staple for young drinkers. I'm seeing everybody drinking these. I don't
everybody
know what they're talking
is.
About. And the trend shows no sign of slowing down. It's up 43%. It says it's 0.2% of the entire wine industry. It says bottled wines are 90%, and then the rest are boxed and bag wines, which people have been making fun of since Franzia hit Walmart.
Making fun of us with our Mylar bags that we love.
I like those. They actually keep the wine fresher longer. Anyway, so they're saying here because young people don't have enough money to drink, but they want to have wine. This is where the wine in the can comes in. So it says millennials aren't looking to spend $70 on a bottle of wine. Who is? When's the last time you spent $70 on a bottle of wine? Not champagne, wine.
I think I spent that.
Maybe for a special, like
as a gift.
Yeah.
But as a gift, maybe over 10 years ago.
So maybe, like, would you ever just be coming home from a regular day at work and be like, you know what, I'm going to drop $75 on a nice bottle of Beaujolais? Never.
Oh, I did that once when I was let go from a job.
That's different. That's a special
different.
Occasion.
Yeah.
But you're like, fuck it. Give me the most expensive
Pinot
you
even then,
have.
it was a $35 bottle.
What? Half the price of what we're complaining
about. And
that's
why I was like, that's it. That's it.
$30. I don't care.
Yeah.
So it says, on average, a 750 milliliter bottle of wine, so that's the normal size, costs between $11 and $25. Okay. It says the canned wine is 375 milliliters, so that's half the size, but it's $4 to $7. I've seen $8 and $9 cans. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's the point of that? Like, for a few more dollars, I can get a bottle.
Yeah.
So I don't see how they're saving a lot of money. It says these cans are about a half a bottle or 2.5 glasses of wine. Well, 1.5, I would say.
That's a
Hey You Know It pour. Some wineries are putting the wine in the smaller cans of 250 milliliters, 2 glasses of wine. And then someone's doing like a 187. That's one. That must be like those mini cans.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a shot of wine.
Well, that's for if like you're sipping and you don't want it to get warm that fast. Like if you're out at the beach, you can bring about like 20 of them.
Or the ones that are thin.
I can bring about 20 of them.
A 20 pack?
Yeah, so you're not holding it and it's getting warm.
Oh, that's true. It's not warming.
Because it's an aluminum can. It's going to conduct heat.
Well, that's one of the problems. That's why a wine, like they're putting down drinking out of a wine glass, but That's why a wine glass is nice, the stem.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have gone stemless, but you're just warming up your Pinot Grigio.
That's it. You know? And you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. So it says wine cans are easier to recycle, and they're seen as less pretentious. I don't think, does anyone think that wine is pretentious anymore?
I would hope not. I mean, then what is the nation coming to then? If I'm going to take that giant leap and make this generalization. What are wine drinkers coming to if they think that drinking and out of a glass is pretentious?
Out of a glass, so you should really be getting yours out of a can.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
Yeah, what a squeeze box.
But I have a thing. Okay, so some wines are nice. They're if you have a sensitive palate or you can discern different tastes in wine,
you're probably not drinking out of a can.
Yeah,
it does taste different.
Yeah, it really does taste different, and the glass bottles are there for a reason,
yeah,
like you're saying. Now, if millennials are not getting this experience out of drinking out of bottles in a glass...
Oh, then they're never going to know.
They're never going to know what a nice glass of wine is.
Either that, or maybe that they could position this as like, this is a gateway to wine. So that's the other thing, too, is that they're saying that people are intimidated by wine. I remember when I first started drinking wine, like, you know, when I... Let's say in my 20s, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Oh, yes, my 20s. Yes. When you first
once
start
I
drinking.
Turned 21, I would just go to the liquor store and just, like, look around and be like, well, what's a good bottle of wine?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, here's some Louis Jadot, which I think everybody starts. It's like a French wine.
Oh, right. Louis Jadot Beaujolais.
Yeah, it's not that expensive. And then you're like, okay, I'll try it. But I was intimidated. In the same way that I am now about, like, scotches and things like that. I just don't know. But I'm not, like, too embarrassed to go to the... I mean, that's what the guy at the liquor store, or the gal at the liquor store is for. It's like, hey, I'm looking for some wine. They size you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you something that, you know, they think is not going to be offensive to your wallet or your palate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is a... They were saying in the article, there is a big difference between the type of taste and quality you're going to get in a canned wine versus what you're going to get in a bottle. And some wines do need to age.
Yes.
For longer.
And I wish, right? I hope people understand this. This is about portability and convenience.
Yeah.
Versus a taste of a fine wine.
Yeah.
But
the experience of opening up the bottle, letting it breathe. While you're letting it breathe, you're having some cheese with your friends, a little bit, some crackers, you know, some canapés. It's a whole... experience.
It's a socialization thing.
Yeah.
This is another thing that translates also to movies. When movies were made, a director made a movie for it to be seen on the big screen.
Yeah.
And there was a big kerfuffle about movies being transferred to television because you're not getting the full screen experience.
Yeah, well, you're definitely not getting the auditory experience at all.
Yeah.
Like, especially with when we were growing up, the TV had, like, just a little tiny speaker on the front. And that was it. That was your sound.
I think they made the example of Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur is this wild chariot race scene with...
And that's letterbox, though, right?
It's letterbox, and there's no CGI. Those are real people and real horses running.
Yeah.
And it's an epic, epic scene. But when you transfer it to television, you miss.
Yeah, you lose a lot of it.
Half of that scene.
I know.
And not just time-wise, you miss the width of it.
I remember I was, like, on Turner Classic Movies. They showed the... Because they were trying to promote, you know, keeping this format. Now... TVs are, you can do letterbox because the TVs aren't square. They're more elongated now. But I remember the guy showing, he was like, this is what you see on TV. Mm-hmm. And this is what the original looks like. And I was like, what the hell?
Yes,
I was
exactly.
Angry.
Exactly. So
you were
missing
like half of the movie.
You're missing an artistic vision watching it on television. Now, there's no way if you're watching it on your phone or on a computer that you're going to get that same experience.
You're not going to get
that experience. So I worry. These are the things I worry about, that kids are not getting these experiences with watching the movie as the director intended. Mm-hmm. And
they're not getting a Pinot Grigio the way the vintner intended.
That's right.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's different, though, for those of us who are, you know, kind of wine connoisseurs. Look, sometimes you just want a can of wine.
Yeah.
You keep it. We want to be portable.
Yeah.
But for me, it is because I'm going into a situation where I can't bring a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into where those situations are.
No.
But please. There's some places you can't pop open a bottle.
Right, right.
It's too obvious. Or you don't want that much wine.
Or when I'm staying in a hotel and I forget a bottle opener, guess what? I'm looking for that screw
top. I'm looking
top.
For a can or a screw top. So anyway, it says here, they talk to a bunch of people, and that guy is a sommelier. He says, canned wine is not to be frowned upon at all, he says. At all. So, but he's, you know, it is what it is. So canned wine, I thought it was interesting. You know what, maybe it'll get better maybe they'll figure out a way, because I feel like that a can does leave a metallic taste. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being sensitive. All right, what do you have?
Okay, I have a barnyard news.
Awesome. So barnyard news is a segment where we talk about animals in the barnyard, sometimes out of the barnyard, sometimes they're in the past, sometimes in the future.
Sometimes they're above the barnyard.
Is this an aerial barnyard
news? Yes, this is about birds.
Nice.
And it says, traffic noise makes birds age faster.
Huh? How did they figure that out? It was just some haggard-looking fucking eagles.
Yeah.
Some busted peregrines.
Circles under their eyes.
Yeah.
No, because they can't sleep. Maybe. That's what I think. But then there's the article.
What if they're just annoyed? In general. Like they've had it. They remember a time.
Okay. Traffic noises may be associated with an increased rate of telomere loss in zebra finches and have left that have left the nest, according to Frontiers in Zoology.
Okay.
These are scientists.
So they picked one particular kind of bird, a finch. Finch, by the way, not the cutest looking bird. Not the freshest looking bird in my mind.
Finch were very popular because they have a flat top.
Yeah, they do.
Telomeres are the caps on the ends of chromosomes that protect genes from damage.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I didn't know that either. So shortening the telomeres indicate accelerated biological aging.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they did the study with the birds.
But didn't the study stress the birds out?
Yeah, researchers found...
I mean, you know?
That zebra finches that were exposed to traffic noise after they left the nest had shorter telomeres at 120 days of age than zebra finches that were exposed to noise until 18 days post-hatch.
How do they do this?
I
know. So they just ran with the nest and put it by, like, I-95 or something? Like, what the fuck? There's other reasons why they might be stressed out. You know?
I know.
They were in a tree and now they're, like, you know, at the turnpike.
Well, if that was if you didn't control anything else and just changed this one thing and then you got this dramatic result.
Okay. I'm thinking they're upset because they've been snatched from their home world, but...
They're just that they're exposed to traffic noise during courtship, egg laying, and nesting. Oh no. Come on, some of those finch need help.
I know. It's hard out there for a finch. So what are they going to do about
urban noises alone, independent from any other aspects of city life, such as light pollution or chemical pollution, is associated with telomere loss and may contribute to aging. But the first step was this observation, and then they compared the finch in rural and urban environments and got this
stark difference. Yeah, they found the rural finch was, like, happy but dumb, living to a long age but not sure what's going on.
Exactly.
Compared to the city finch.
Yeah, city finch knows everything and just falls over.
Yeah, smokes, knows a good wine when he sees it, enjoys cable.
This is a can of wine.
Yeah.
But hey, and then says the finch.
Yes.
Not all canned wines can be poo-pooed at.
Exactly.
They read the study. Yeah, so this is, isn't that interesting? So traffic noise exposure.
Yeah. Nobody likes traffic noise. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we can assume, like, do you like it?
No.
No. When you have, like, those white noise apps, like, traffic noise is usually not one of the things on there. It's not like, because they have, like, airline noise, vacuum cleaner, like, rain on a roof.
Yeah, the ocean.
I-95 is not a choice.
Yeah.
The turnpike, you know. Sounds and smells.
I have a big reaction to motorcycles that are loud on purpose.
Why is that still happening?
I know.
Everything is very quiet, except for the guy on the motorcycle who was like, hey, do you guys see me? He's like, yeah, asshole, we do see you and we hear you. I wish I could push him over. I'm always afraid one day I'm going to get annoyed and they're going to be riding real, so I'm just going to, like, reach my arm out and be like, you know what? Remember this?
Yeah.
Push. There's no need for that. There's no need.
There is no need for the excessive noise.
Until
it only thrills them.
Yes. And it's one thing when you're, like, out in the country where I'm from, but this is when you're driving through, like, a residential neighborhood at, like, 7:30 on a Wednesday. Yeah, we saw you.
On top of it, now there's this guy that rides this very expensive-looking bicycle in my neighborhood, but he has a boombox on it. And he's well-dressed, expensive
really?
Bike.
What year does he think it is?
And he's older. He's, like, in his 50s.
You should yell, play raw bass. Play raw bass, I'll push you over.
He's just, like, I guess he doesn't want to wear a headphone, so he's like, I'm going to listen to my tunes.
Is it good quality speakers?
Yeah,
or is it
it's
just
good.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's strange.
And it's not just, like, some slob.
He's
a dressed-up guy.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, because now that everyone wears headphones, we don't hear booming systems anymore. Like, that was a thing maybe up until the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Guys would always be, like, blasting music out of their car. No one does that anymore.
Yeah, very rarely it's do you weird. Hear that. Yeah.
And you hear bass going by, you're like, what's happening? And you're like, oh, it's some guy with, like, bass in his car.
Yeah.
So I decided to look up a couple things. There are a lot of phrases I say, and I don't know why I say them necessarily or what they mean. I mean, I know what I'm trying to say. But one of them is Sam Hill. I know you've heard me say,
you
what
say
is
Sam Hill, and I like
it. So do
it.
You know what it means?
No, I don't.
Okay, so I looked it up. It's an American slang phrase, a euphemism, or a minced oath. So minced oath is another word for euphemism, which I think is awesome.
Minced oath.
Yeah. For the devil, or hell, as personified in what in the Sam Hill is that? The word Sam coming from salmon, which is a different way of saying Solomon. An oath.
So salmon.
Yeah, salmon, but Solomon.
Okay.
And hill from hell. And so they said they're euphemisms for the devil. So someone suggested that it comes from the phrase Samuel, the name of the devil in an opera. And the phrase Sam Hill can be seen in Samuel.
Oh. Right?
So another thing, it comes from a store owner in Arizona. There was a dude named Sam Hill who ran the Sam Hill Mercantile Building in Prescott, Arizona. And apparently he had everything in his emporium. And so people began saying, what in the Sam Hill is that?
Okay.
Also, or it could come from a politician from Connecticut. An article in the between 1720 and 1757, Mr. Sam Hill represented Guilford, Connecticut in 43 out of 49 sessions. And then because he was always representing the town when someone else was doing it, they said, you know, give him Sam Hill. We want Sam Hill. I don't know if I care about that one that much. And then there was another one in Michigan. It was a guy named Samuel W. Hill. And apparently he used such foul language that he became known for it. And so instead of swearing, people would say, what in the Sam Hill, I guess, instead of what in the F, or what in the H, or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So what in the Sam Hill.
So it could be the devil. It could be this guy known for swearing. It could be this guy
who ran an emporium. Who had a lot of stuff.
Oh, interesting. I wonder what's most popular.
What in the Sam Hill. I didn't know about any of this. The other one I've said before is Bob's Your Uncle. And I don't know where I picked that up from. I think
it's a British thing.
It's a British saying, but I think I got it from a song or something. So it's basically...
You probably got from Austin Powers, because he said it in there. And that brought it... Like, it's been going around, you know...
I think I might
Great
have,
Britain for a long time, but we don't say it in the U.S.?
I think I might have gotten it, though, from watching, like, the BBC, like, Are You Being Served? And weird stuff. Because I've been saying it since I was a kid. I never really understood what it was. But it means basically everything's all right.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought. So here's their example. Left over right, right over left, and Bob's your uncle. Mm-hmm. You've made a reef knot.
Yeah.
Right? Or she slipped the officer 100 quid, and Bob's your uncle. The charge disappeared. Mm-hmm. So no one is really sure of the origin. They think it comes from an act of nepotism. Lord Salisbury, who appointed his favorite nephew, Arthur Balfour. And the word nepotism comes from nephew. So that's why they think that this may have something to do with it. So basically it was like in 1887, Balfour was unexpectedly promoted to the vital frontline post of chief secretary for Ireland by his uncle, Robert Lord Salisbury. And so how did
Bob's
you get there?
Uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
I like that. Yeah. That seems like that.
Another thing they think it might have been from a music hall.
And that's how it happened.
And that's how it happened. A musical review in Dundee called Bob's Your Uncle, which appeared in the Scottish newspaper, the Angus Evening Telegraph, in June 1924. I said, Bob's your uncle. Follow your Uncle Bob. He knows what to do. He'll look after you, meaning you will be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Everything is all right. Bob's your uncle. And apparently it was a very popular song. So these may be all, none, or some of the reasons why I use this phrase and what it means. Well, that was interesting.
That's really interesting.
Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle, because we don't say that here.
No.
So I feel like it's it's linked to their government system.
Bob's your uncle, but I like it.
Yeah,
Bob's
your uncle.
They got the four R's.
Four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat.
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag Bump Life NYC.
That's the reprise from Bob Drinkle's Little Piece of Peanut.
Little Piece of Peanut.
Okay, so what do you have?
I have advice on advice.
Advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice, hence advice on advice. So who's this from?
This is from Prudy.
Yes, I knew it. Dear Prudence.
Okay, here we go. A few weeks ago, my husband and I were visiting with several friends for vacation. Okay. One morning, our friend's son used my husband's computer to watch a video. No problem, since he's a little older and more responsible using electronics.
Okay.
However, he mistakenly forgot to put the laptop away once he was finished and left it open in a place easily accessible to the younger children.
Okay.
Within a few minutes, our other friend's daughter had spilled juice all over the keyboard, thus destroying a quite expensive laptop.
Okay.
We had to go out and buy a replacement. While we have a rainy day fund to cover the cost, it means we have to cut our summer family vacation this year.
Oh my God! That's... Wow. Okay. That sucks.
Okay. Because of the high cost, my husband feels that his friend should offer to chip in, namely the parents of the boy who used the computer and the parents of the girl who spilled the juice on the laptop. Mm-hmm. I'm in slight agreement, although I think that the juice spiller's parents should chip in.
Yeah, the juice spillers are on the hook for this one.
So far, no one has offered any help.
We
both are a bit dismayed, since if it were our children who were in some way responsible for such an incident, we would most definitely offer to help pay for a replacement.
Yeah, and then you make your children, quote-unquote, pay it off by doing something.
Yeah.
Right?
While my husband would like to ask for help, I feel it's a bit tacky. What's the proper etiquette for such a situation? Are we wrong to expect offers for help? Is it a social faux pas to ask for a compensation?
This seems very clear-cut to me. Like, your kid fucked it up. Pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
I can't think of any.
Here it is. Here's the they said they wouldn't have let the other one use it. The older one could use it. The older one, because he seems somewhat responsible, but he didn't close it up or give it back.
Yeah, but like you, I mean, I think nowadays, I don't know how old the juice filler is,
mm-hmm.
the offending juice filler, but it's like, isn't it kind of obvious for children nowadays that you shouldn't be messing around mm-hmm. with other people's stuff? Period.
Yeah, and or they just spoil thinking that they can get away with this kind of behavior, like someone else is going to pay for it, obviously.
Yeah, I find that, I mean, if I don't have any kids, but I'll put it this way, I have a dog. Mm-hmm. If my dog took a piss on your laptop, I would pay for it.
Yeah, thank you.
You know? I mean, that just seems like the right thing to do, right? Yeah. It's my dog, I'm responsible for the dog. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no... I mean, you should be able to leave an item out. I have mm-hmm. people bring their kids over to my house all the time. None of them have ever destroyed anything.
Yeah.
Because their parents keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I'm sorry. So what does Prudence say?
I left my phone charging on the windowsill.
Okay.
Because it was just like adults around.
Yeah.
And then the kids got in the house. And I find my cell phone on the floor.
Don't they know not to be messing with people's cell phones? Period.
I think they walked by it and knocked it off and didn't even realize.
Okay, well, that's possible. But still, it wasn't broken.
No, it wasn't broken, but I'm just like, you know what? When kids are around, you got to put your stuff
up
high.
Yeah, you do.
It's like, no matter what, this kind of stuff is going to happen.
Yeah. But if something does happen, if it's an accident,
mm-hmm.
like, just repair it, right? Pay for it.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So you feel like,
yeah.
and I feel like.
Yeah, that the juice bill is parents should... pay for the laptop or offer to help them out in some way.
Or what about the other kid's parents?
I don't know. I mean, he left it open, but I feel like even if he hadn't left it open, this little kid probably would have come by and opened it and threw juice on it anyway.
Well, I think that, I know that, but I feel also if he is responsible enough to look at your computer,
mm-hmm.
he has to follow through with the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, he should.
And that he should understand that there's repercussions for just leaving valuable things lying around.
Yeah. Did they ask him to put it away or just to close it? What did they say?
He mistakenly forgot to put the laptop away once he finished. Left it open in a place easily accessible to the younger children.
Okay,
so he was irresponsible.
So he is on the hook for it. I wasn't listening carefully.
I think they both need
to. But they should split it.
Okay.
Or maybe three, you know, maybe they could put it three ways.
Yeah, that's what I think. Three ways is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, the advice.
Dun, da, da, da.
I'm willing to let others chime in here.
Okay.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
We did it. I think it's an important question is whether your husband agreed to let the older boy use his laptop unsupervised and didn't himself make it sure it was safely put away afterward, or the boy borrowed the laptop without asking and he left it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they. She made it clear that they tasked him with
use it and put it away. For it.
If it's the former, I think it's the fault. The fault primarily rests with the husband. Although it would have been appropriate for for the other parents to at least offer to defray the cost.
So say my dog again pees on your laptop. Mm-hmm. I offer to pay. You could be like, you know what? Just give me a couple $100. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it, or don't worry about it at all. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't not offer. Something.
Right.
That's rude.
If it's the latter, I think you have more latitude to ask the other people.
And they had to cut their vacation short.
Yeah.
So they were on a tight budget.
Yeah. And so they're trying to get ahead and they budget for these things. Yeah.
They're trying to be nice, let these kids use a laptop.
But then again, how much is a computer? $1,700, $2,000? That's a new one?
That's what I'm thinking, but maybe this is like, you know, some really crazy hyped up work computer. So like I have this laptop that I bring to the studio, but I have another one at home that is significantly more expensive than this and has like extra stuff that I put in because I use it for a lot of graphics. So maybe it was like, kind of a high tech, like maybe he's a designer or something like that. Who knows? A podcaster, if you will. He's doing important work.
But either way, asking is not inherently tacky. If you're able, we'd really appreciate some help replacing a laptop. Your wonderful child spilled juice on it.
Okay.
Or if they decline, that's disappointing, but you haven't lost anything else. If they say yes, so the much better.
Why didn't they offer?
Yeah. That's the interesting part. Why did they not offer?
Because, like, sometimes when things, if I'm with someone and something happens to a friend of mine, even if it's not my fault, I might be like, hey, I'll help you out with that, right? Because decent human being, but who knows?
Okay, here's another one. I had my apartment renovated.
Okay.
And I didn't take the food out of my fridge, but that's okay because the fridge was plugged in and running.
Yeah.
The apprentice working on the place unplugged the fridge.
Jacques, he's on the hook.
Yes, he's on the hook.
He didn't look? It's a refrigerator.
He didn't realize that it was unplugged and left it over. Everything spoiled.
Like I had Dick Cheney's heart in there. The one that doesn't go online. Yeah, he's on the hook for that. Yeah, just look.
He is on the hook. But so he and the guy in charge were like, I'm sorry he did this. We'll give you money. We'll pay for everything.
Fantastic.
But the thing was, I don't even remember what was in there.
Well, whatever. Did you get the money?
I was like, don't worry about it.
What?
Because it wasn't, I couldn't even remember.
I would have been like, there were truffles in there.
Well, they knew. They threw everything out, so they knew what was in there.
There were swordfish steaks in there.
There was shrimp in there. I know that.
Yeah, there was shrimp in there.
But I'm like, look.
Yeah, if you're in a position to be benevolent like that, that's great. Mm-hmm. But at least they offered.
Yeah.
They weren't just like, you should have taken everything out.
Yeah, they offered, and that was good enough for me, because I couldn't even put a dollar value on what was there. And I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
It was a mistake, and they're working on your apartment.
It was like a half a pint of Breyers in there and some ice. That's it. Some Arm & Hammer baking soda. Basically. That's it.
I'm like, but the wine.
Yes.
What did you do with the wine?
Is the wine still good?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should offer.
No, offering is the key, and then you do what you will.
So I found out a little of something here. My favorite fellow American, if I can find it, Elon Musk. And a segment.
Elon Musk.
And a new segment I like to call Musk You. Musk you really.
Musk you really.
Yes. So Elon Musk, it says he is blasting someone to the moon. So his little SpaceX, his little program. According to an announcement on Twitter, SpaceX, the independent space exploration company founded by billionaire, but they never say anything about him being a playboy. Do you notice that?
Because
he's not Bruce Wayne.
He's not a playboy.
He's not Batman. Elon Musk has booked a private passenger on a round-trip journey to the moon. Would you fly on his ship to the moon?
No, I don't want to go on his ship. I don't want to go to the moon. I have three reasons.
Before you tell me your three reasons, I'd like to tell you the name of the ship. It is called Big Falcon Rocket.
What?
Big Falcon Rocket.
Oh, God. Okay.
Big Falcon Rocket. The mission is an important step on Big Falcon Rocket. It sounds like Big Dick Energy, right? No, I just call it Big Dick Energy.
Yeah.
Like, The mission is an important step towards enabling access for everyday people who dream of traveling to space in Big Falcon Rocket.
Big Falcon.
I keep thinking Big Rock, like Rock Candy, Big Mountain Candy. Rocky Mountain Candy is what I'm thinking of. Only 24 humans have been to the moon in history. No one has visited since the last Apollo mission in 1972 that we know of. But Big Falcon Rocket is going to take care of this. They don't say how much it's going to cost, and they're saying it's for everyday people, but it's like everyday billionaires, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you and I are not going to be in Big Falcon Rocket.
No, I'm not going to the moon.
Of course, as for comparison, Virgin Galactic, which is a silly name as well, takes passengers on a 90-minute flight that includes 70 minutes in zero gravity, and that's $250,000. SpaceX's newly redesigned Big Falcon Rocket. So this is the second one. There was a Big Falcon Rocket Alpha. Didn't make it.
Okay.
This BFR, which was redesigned to carry a crew capsule holding up to 100 passengers on a trip to and from Mars. So they're retrofitting.
Computer generated name.
I know.
It Put in all the like the big dick words all that
your
you know.
Base are belong to Elon Musk. The massive spacecraft, which is still being developed. So it's not even done yet. This is classic Elon Musk. He's selling tickets. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit like step right up.
You know, come to my flea circus. Yeah.
It'll have 31 engines on a booster vehicle, and it'll be the most powerful rocket ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what it's going to look like. If his face isn't on the side, I'm making complaints. It says, in 2017, SpaceX announced plans to send two tourists on a trip around the moon aboard the company's Crew Dragon capsule. I mean,
The Dragon capsule.
It's crew. The Wall Street Journal, however, reported that it's not going to happen until 2019. I don't think it ever will happen.
I don't think so.
Big Falcon Rocket.
That's terrible. Can I tell you my three reasons?
Yes.
Why?
That you will not get on Big Falcon Rocket?
First of all, I'm not going anywhere with Elon Musk.
No, he's not going to go, he said.
I know, but anyone who had the idea, all I'd be thinking of is why did he shoot that car with the astronaut, a convertible car into space with an astronaut suit driving it. Why did you do that?
You can't trust someone who does that.
I can't.
That,
exactly. Yeah. Second, leave the moon alone.
Yes, we said leave the moon alone. It's for everybody.
The moon is for everybody, and it also controls all the water and motion on the planet.
Yeah, just leave it.
And if anything happens to that, we're doomed, and I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to, and my third reason, I don't want to go into space. Do you know what happened to, what's his name, Ryan Kelly, the astronaut?
No, what happened?
He's all kinds of messed up.
What do you mean? Like his physiology?
His physiology has changed. His DNA has changed. He's no longer a twin. Because he's so different from his twin brother now.
They're no longer twins. I don't even know you anymore.
But he has so many health problems now. Like his legs, he got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and his legs were all the same size from hip to ankle.
What are you talking about? His legs were all the same size.
Like one solid tree trunk. It swelled up so bad.
That's not what I was envisioning. I can't really explain what I was envisioning. But his legs were all one size. I was like, huh? One leg was shorter before he went to space, and now they're both the same length.
I know, that was awkward.
He's got two left legs?
No. No, his leg from hip to ankle was one
solid piece.
Yeah.
Wow, the whole thing was a cankle.
Yeah. And he's in pain. He's got all kinds of health problems going on. And the fact that he's no longer technically a twin.
That's a
problem. He has changed that much. I'm not going up. I'm not going past.
If you go up, what do you think you would come back as?
I don't know.
Would we still be able to podcast together?
Probably, but I
wouldn't
be the same.
We could not be a duo anymore. I'd be like, I can't work with you.
It'll be the other Katie Kazmaier. Yeah. Space Katie.
Bizarro Katie. Space Katie. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not down with Big Falcon Rocket either.
No.
I don't like. What's wrong with him?
I'm not climbing a tree.
No.
I'm not going into
space. These are things you're just not going to do.
Right.
All right. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
So yeah, we're not going on big Rock Mountain candy.
Mm-hmm.
Big Falcon Rocket, really?
Yeah,
I feel like he doesn't have anyone who's willing to tell him when things are a little bit wonky. Do you know what I mean? Like, he needs us to be there. Like, Elon, if you're listening, hire us. We'll tell you how it is and how it should be.
That's
and
right.
It should not be Big Falcon Rocket.
No, it should not.
I'm
we
sorry.
Have to. It's the hikey ship.
Yeah, the hikey ship.
That's all.
Much better.
Okay, so I have this thing here. There are different dating trends.
Okay.
Some are not so great. I'm not just talking about meeting people. This is once you meet them. This is something that happens.
Once you're in the relationship.
Now, we've all been ghosted on one level or another.
Yeah, I got ghosted back in the 90s. It wasn't pleasant.
Yeah, everyone ghosted.
We didn't know what to call it.
It was just like, I don't know what happened to
them.
That's what we would say. So there's another new creepy one, which is called orbiting.
Okay. Is Elon Musk involved with this? So what's the other one? Orbiting?
Orbiting. Well, okay. So orbiting now.
I'm just trying to imagine what it is. They just get closer to you and then further away.
All right. Ghosting is the term within dating, which states that it's a cowardly act carried out in hopes that the ghostie will just get the hint and leave the subject alone. Mm-hmm.
So there's a ghoster and a ghostie.
Right.
Okay.
Orbiting is the new ghosting, and it's probably happening to you.
Okay. That's awesome.
Okay.
You might not know what it is, but I guarantee you it's happening.
The phenomenon begins when the person you've been seeing suddenly disappears from your life.
Okay, poof.
Pretending you're a stranger, just like ghosting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 100 times more frustrating because they never completely disappear. They pour through your social media, watch your Snapchats and Instagram stories.
Mm-hmm.
They like the occasional tweet, and they may even be so bold as to comment publicly on your posts from time to time.
That cad.
Yeah, so this one is an anecdotal story. I started dating a man. Let's call him Tyler.
Let's call him Travis.
After a few months ago, we met on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, after our first date, we added each other on Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram.
Why?
Why are you doing that?
Girl, take your time.
After our second date, he stopped answering my texts. I soon gathered it was over. But in the ensuing days, I noticed he was watching every single one of my Instagram and Snapchat stories.
Mm-hmm. Along with hundreds of other people, too.
And was often the first one
to comment or whatever.
Yeah. A couple of weeks later, after still no correspondence, I decided to unfriend Tyler from all three social platforms.
Mm-hmm. You should have never let him on in the first place. Lesson learned.
Yeah. So on Facebook, Snapchat, that meant we could no longer see each other's content, but on Instagram, no such luck.
Okay.
Now it's been over for 2 months since we. It's been over 2 months since we've spoken.
I mean, it never really got started, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and he still follows me on Instagram, and looks at every single one of my stories. It's not ghosting; this is orbiting.
I think she should pull a Big Falcone on him.
She'd get in the Big Falcone,
yes,
and orbit him.
And just orbit him, yeah,
yeah.
Do a reverse Falcone on him.
So
see how he likes it.
They describe the move as close enough to see each other, far enough to never talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that orbiting is either a power play or a sign of regret or an act of straight-up stupidity.
Maybe he's just not thinking about it. So I guess the thing here is that don't admit someone into your online social media mm-hmm. circle before you know that it's, you know, there's a reason to have mm-hmm. them in your circle.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right, right.
Like, you dated once and you're like, I'm adding him on everything. No.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So, orbiting.
Like, orbiting. So, I'll do one more thing about, Musk. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk. So, I had been hearing about Elon Musk and his Hyperloop.
What are you calling it again? Maybe this is Musky, really?
Musky.
Musky really is the...
Musky. So it says science fiction foresaw flying cars and teleporters, but then all we ended up getting was Segways. You remember Segways?
Yeah.
They're very annoying.
Oh, God, yeah.
I know. But now we have this thing called the Hyperloop. So I keep hearing about the Hyperloop, and I didn't know what it is. So apparently California has been trying to build this high-speed rail system forever.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the world already has it. Like, bullet mm-hmm. trains were a thing in Japan, like when we were in elementary school or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know? So the Hyperloop is a concept and proposed by billionaire inventor Playboy. I'm putting that in there now.
You're putting Playboy in.
Playboy. Master Falcone, Elon Musk, CEO of aerospace firm SpaceX and the guy behind Tesla. So his idea is he's going to build underneath the city of Los Angeles and going all the way to San Francisco mm-hmm. a tunnel because he has this company called The Boring Company because mm-hmm. it bores.
Yeah. The Boring Company.
Exactly. And he's going to shorten. So inside this tunnel, there's going to be like either pressurized air or magnets or both. And you're going to get into something that basically looks like a Quaalude. And it's going to shoot you down this thing. Well, and it's going, instead of taking 6 hours to go from San Francisco to LA, it's going to take 35 minutes.
Well, I think if something is going to take you somewhere quickly, it better look like a Quaalude.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So it's going to be two massive tubes extending from San Francisco to L.A., and there'll be pods inside that carry passengers and travel along the tubes at speeds topping out over 700 miles per hour. No. In a tube under the earth. In an area that's known for earthquakes.
Yeah, you know what?
You know,
this is, it's just bad news.
Yeah, for propulsion, magnetic accelerators will be planted along the length of the tube. So magnets are going to push or pull you forward. And then there's going to be a cushion of air so that you will glide and like a puck.
Okay,
gliding over an air hockey table.
Well, first of all, we all laughed when they built tubes under the Hudson River so we mm-hmm. could get to New York. So
but that
this
is,
sounds
that's
like,
not so crazy to
it's
me,
It's not so
though.
Crazy, but the whole magnet thing, it's really bad for people with pacemakers. You can't go on it.
Dick Cheney, you hear that? I know you do. That's probably why we don't have it yet, because he's like, wait, I can't go in there.
Yeah.
So it magnets and then the, you know, like an air hockey table, the puck, is going to, you're going to fly through 700 miles per hour. It says, given the tight quarters of the tube, pressure buildup from the pod could be a problem. I imagine people just flying out of this thing over San Francisco, past San Francisco, into the bay, just shoo.
They swim tunnel. Back and they're yes. like, I got here.
I have a Wile E. Coyote, like... brain when
that's
it comes
what he
to this
is
kind
like.
Of
that's probably what Elon Musk is like.
Yeah,
a Wile E. Coyote.
A Wile E. Coyote.
If I paint a tunnel here, then
yeah.
I can ride through it.
So that's the reason he's going to, you know, each person is going to be packed with their own little Quaalude, and then he's going to shoot you through his magnetic air hockey tunnel in 35 minutes at 700 miles per hour.
Oh,
this
Elon.
Is after you've gotten back from the Big Falcon rocket.
He's just going everywhere.
Yeah.
Under the earth, over the earth.
So now, like, I don't know much about Elon Musk, but I want to learn more. Because,
okay.
And he needs to come up with more crazy ideas.
Yeah.
He's only got the moonshot.
We'll give him ideas.
And then this Hyperloop thing, and then the big Falcone.
Yeah.
But
we should be advisors, consultants, too.
Yeah, we've got good ideas. If you're listening, and I know you
Elon
are.
Elon Musk.
HeyYouKnowIt@gmail.com.
Yeah, please. Invite
bring,
us, and
yeah,
we'll,
and
we'll
bring
be there.
Bring wine.
Yeah.
Canned wine.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Big Falcon.
Big Falcon rocket orbits
if
you.
If I ever see on video, what's up, Big Falcon? Big Falcon. How about Big Falcone rocket? That's a lot cooler,
it
right?
It is. Big Falcone.
Big Falcone? I'm
Big
down
Falcone.
With that.
Yeah, it has a nice musical
it has a nice
quality
to it.
Yeah.
Big Falcone.
The Big Falcone. Want to
yeah.
get in my Big Falcone?
Hell yeah. Okay.